Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Songhai Nation, QT and Songhai with you here on another Friday. I'm about to call our guest and get him on the show here.
Woo! Woo!
Let's see. I am trying to anyway.
Yes. Very communique, yes. Very good.
QT, go ahead and say something here while I attempt to do this.
Well, Songhai, I got to tell you, this week's top 9 7/8 Northwest wrestler rankings creating huge amount of controversy, but not the number one spot. The number one spot, of course, was reserved for a dearly departed, the Roddy Piper. Yes, the bagpiper from Scotland. Via Canada, yes. So that didn't create too much controversy. But, oh boy, honorable mention and 9 7/8 controversy, yes.
It sounds that way. Let's see, weird.
Even our guest wasn't listed. That created a lot of controversy.
Hello.
Troy Van Zandt.
Okay. Yeah. We have Mr. Troy Van Zandt with us.
How y'all doing tonight?
Doing very well. Thank you for taking time to be with us here today. Now, the last time that I saw you, there was a bit of controversy because you had promised me a shot at the WCWO title when it was decided between you and your brother who won it, and suddenly my opponent shattered my ankle. And I noticed in the last couple of months you've been teaming with said individual. Seems a little suspicious.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I didn't have him take you out. So if that's what you're trying to point at, then no. You know, I didn't have Sean do it. I'm innocent.
All right. Well, I guess I'll believe that. But I'm still owed a match, just so you know.
I'll give you a match. No problem.
All right. I will look forward to that, definitely. Now, you've been a busy man since I saw you last. You compete in quite a few different promotions. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about what you have going on here in the next few weeks?
Tonight, actually right now, I'm heading to Indianapolis to WCWO. We work for those guys just about every Friday night and some Saturdays. Then tomorrow night we got Hoosier Pro. Been working for Jerry for a while. And about the third Saturday every month, I still do a lot for New Air. And I don't know. We're in talks with some other places might be popping up here and there. So there's a lot going on.
Now, one of the things I have said for quite some time, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I have compared TVZ, you and your brother Tom, with the Briscoe brothers of Ring of Honor fame. I see a lot of similarities between the two of you. Do you think that's a fair comparison?
I'll take it as a compliment. Only comparison I think I really see is a bunch of crazy ass brothers that do crazy ass shit.
Well, style-wise, on occasion you seem to mirror each other, although the Briscoe brothers change their style up quite frequently.
Right.
Now, speaking of them, they do a lot of really crazy bumps. They, especially early in their career, were known for almost being reckless. I know you've seen a lot of crazy bumps happen in your career. What's some of the craziest things you've seen wrestlers do bump-wise?
Well, I've seen some, I've seen a bunch of firemen try to throw a wrestler, I know, over the rope, and he seemed to land on his head. That was pretty crazy. I've seen the barbed wire and all that stuff. And I don't know, I think like you said, when we're all young and early in our career, we are all pretty reckless and take a lot more bumps than we really need to.
A fireman thing sounds like it could have killed the guy.
Could have, and honestly, I thought it did. First time in my life in a locker room, I was like, oh, shit, I'm scared for that guy. Even though the guy kept trying to get up out of the stretcher.
That sounds like he's one tough individual if he can try to get off a stretcher, keep fighting.
I guess you could say, yeah.
Now, I know you've been around long enough to see some of the people in your area go on to the national promotions. One of them that I know you worked in the ring with quite a bit earlier in your career is seen pretty much on every WWE broadcast. Jason Ayers is a referee there. What's it like knowing that someone that you should many times in your career is now working for the largest company in the entire world?
I think it's awesome for him. Like you just said, Jason worked a lot for us back when we were running New Era, and I pretty much seen him everywhere. I mean, even Drake right now at NXT, seeing him there every Wednesday, and probably won't be long before we see him on the Fed, Moxley or Ambrose and those guys, It's just awesome, Can't help but be proud for them and happy for them that, they're living their dream.
Now, just this past week, in the last few days, the annual Pro Wrestling Illustrated 500 came out, and in it were a few guys that have New Era experience. Dylan Bostic was ranked 292. You had Congo Kong ranked, and you also had Stompin' Steve come in at 496. What's it like having so many New Era alumni in this year's 500?
I mean, you got to be proud. I mean, I'm the proudest of Dylan. He started out with us, he's come a long ways, and he's really working hard. And I think he's another one of those guys that deserves to be at the big time. He's got time. He's still really young, but I think he deserves a shot just as much as anybody else.
I believe he might hold the world's record for being 18 years old for the longest amount of time.
That is very true. That is very true. I don't know how he pulled it off, but he did.
To be fair, he looked 12 years old for half of that.
Honestly, I think he was like 14 or 15 when he started showing up at our shows and helped. Well, I mean, he was younger out watching it, but when he would show up, help set up the ring and start landing bumps, and just hanging out with the guy. I'm thinking 14 or 15. Might have had his first match at 15. I could be off on that. So.
That sounds about right, I believe. Now, New Era itself has been around for quite some time. You're a New Era original. Not many promotions have the opportunity to run for as long as New Era has on a consistent basis. What's it like being part of the New Era locker room right now as you look on many successful years for New Era there in Shelbyville?
Right now, it's a good atmosphere right now. Since they have ran for so long, I've seen the ups and downs, everybody happy, everybody pissed off, But right now it seems like they're finally getting a good solid group in there that everybody's happy and happy to work with each other and don't seem to be too much drama. So.
I've never heard of such a thing as drama in a wrestling locker room.
Occasionally it does happen. I know not very much, but, you know, occasionally it does happen.
Shocking, shocking news right there.
I let the cat out of the bag. I'm sorry. I broke the secret.
Hurts me in my liver a little bit, but I'll try to move forward.
All right. I appreciate it.
Now, someone like you that has a brother in wrestling that you're a regular partner with in some promotions, and you also do a lot of singles wrestling, you've held many singles titles, do you have a preference for which you do, be it tag team or singles?
Oh, tag, definitely. I don't know. Something about when tag wrestling to me has always been my thing. You know, even when I was a kid, everybody would like a Hulk Hogan or anything like that. Well, I liked Rock and Roll Express or the Midnight Express. Anybody that was a tag team was my favorite. So, I mean, I don't know. There's nothing better. To me, when a good tag team match is done right, there ain't nothing better.
Now, the thing about tag team wrestling today, it seems to be on the upswing in a lot of places, but for a long time, it was underappreciated and overlooked, I think. You saw
absolutely
most tag teams consist of just two guys. There is nothing in common, nothing really tying them together. Do you think being a brother tag team like you and Tom are helped you become one of the teams on the independent scene since you had that family tie together so it wasn't just two random guys being tossed in?
Oh, absolutely. Because we grew up together, we automatically had that bond. And like you said, we weren't just two guys thrown together trying to figure each other out. I know what he's about. He knows what I'm about. And, you know, we just got that chemistry and bond.
A lot of the fans know that besides being one of the top tag teams, on several occasions, you and Tom have wrestled each other and have feuded with each singly and with other partners. What's it like when you have to get in there and compete against Tom?
It's usually a stiffer match. I don't know. I've had some of my better matches with Tom. It's just because we got a chemistry in the ring, whether it's with each other or against each other, you know. And sometimes brothers fight. It happens. And I don't know. It's always been fun and good. It's always good times.
Now, the last time I was in your neck of the woods, you also held the tri-state title at Hoosier Pro Wrestling, and you were in a pretty big feud at the time with Dash Venture. What was it like holding a championship that's fairly prestigious? Not a ton of guys have held that title in its existence. What was it like being the standard bearer of that and feuding with a guy like Dash Venture, who has held titles all over the United States?
I don't know. It's always an honor to hold someone's belt. You know, someone thinks you're good enough to be their champion. You know, it's always a good thing. I liked working Dash. I always thought we had good matches together and good chemistry and flowed well together. But the thing I liked most about holding that belt is usually when the top guy came in, Jerry would bring in, I'd get that guy because I was, you know, in that spot. So whoever usually got that belt gets a good spot. And it was fun, you know. Had a good little run for maybe a year. I didn't get a Donny Idol run, but, you know, I got a good run.
Not many people get the Donny Idol run.
So, you know.
Now, I know that a lot of times in independent wrestling, you don't see a lot of guys that would be considered giants in Indiana. There's a few people out there that are considered giants. You're more of a more normal-sized wrestler compared to the guys that WWE puts out for the most part. Do you think that someone that has your size and build has an advantage on the independent scene? Or do you think that someone a little bit bigger or someone a little bit smaller has more of an advantage as far as the wrestling in Indiana right now?
Right now, it just seems like, you know, it ain't like the Fed where the big man's are. Was like the Fed, the big man, you know, dominated. Anymore, it's if you can go, if you can, you know, entertain and perform, big or small, they'll let you do it, you know, as long as it's a good product. Right now, everybody seems about the same size, like you were saying. You know, you got Kong and a couple other guys that are just enormous. But, you know, to me, the more entertaining matches are come from the smaller guys just because they can do more.
Or if you're 400 pounds and move like you're 150 pounds.
That is true, yes.
How many hillbilly Jeds are there?
Yes. Only one I know. I heard he's got split personality, so I don't know. Every now and then he thinks he's Italian, then he's hillbilly. He does, I guess, depends on who hits him the week before.
Well, maybe they have hillbillies in Italy.
Maybe. Maybe. Possibility.
They might use possum meat in their spaghetti sauce there in Italy. I don't know.
Boy. Yeah, that might be the difference. I'll have to ask him that. I think he's going to be up here tonight.
Well, there you go. There's something to ask him if you come across him in the locker room.
I will ask him that. Is that what makes the difference? Possum meat. Actually, I'll tell you, you want to know. And then we'll go, that way I know he'll answer it. So I just tell him to fuck off.
Well, there you go. I'll take the heat if it angers him.
I appreciate that. I don't know if you've ever taken one of the Nerland Thunders, but it's not pleasant.
I've not so far taken one, but I've heard it's not the most pleasant.
No, it's not. It's not bad.
Well, at this time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know he has some questions, so this help you as I give QT the ball for a bit.
No problem.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Troy.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Troy, I was interested to hear that you were working pretty well with Dash Venture. Now, I've delivered several fruit pies to Dash Venture, as per our contract, Turmoil contract states that I've got to deliver fruit pies. I've never delivered a fruit pie to you, have I?
No, I don't think you have.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to mark that down, never delivered. One to Troy. Okay. That may be remedied, although the mailing costs are pretty high. Yes. Plus, you'd have to be ranked number one in our Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest Wrestler rankings to receive said fruit pie.
All right.
Well, based on how you do tonight, next week's rank, you may receive a fruit pie. Yes. Okay.
Right on.
Well, Troy, I saw your YouTube video entitled John Wall / Troy Van Zandt versus Donny Idol / Tom Van Zandt, 4/23/11. Is it true that you and John belong to the same fantasy football league?
That is not true.
Oh, okay.
That is not.
No, are you currently in a fantasy football league?
Hell no. There is no other sport than pro wrestling. Where's my wrestling fantasy league? Once you guys start one of those, and I'll join.
Ooh, a wrestling fantasy. Sangha, you hear that? A wrestling fantasy league. Okay. All right. Well, Troy, John made his way to the ring with a Canadian flag worn like a Middle East turban. My question is, as a Muslim immigrant to Canada, why didn't he wear curled-toed camel boots?
You know, I think that was actually discussed, and last I heard he might have been looking for a pair. I'm not sure if he ever got them because John moved to South Carolina. But that would have been a hell of an idea.
Okay. Do you know if John Wall is indeed an Ontario, Canada naturalized citizen by birth?
As I'm told, yes. I ain't going to go do a background check. Yeah, I'll take him at his word.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, was part of your game plan with John to isolate Donnie Idol in a neutral corner and soften him up with knife-edge chops? Was that your initial battle plan?
I think that's just how we wrestled everybody.
Oh,
it wasn't
wow.
just because it was Donnie.
Oh, okay. Well, now the announcer said that you and John had a combined weight of 460 pounds, and the team of Donnie and Tom had a combined weight of 373 pounds. Did you have plans to use your heavier weight to overwhelm what may have been a slight advantage on their part mobility-wise?
Well, absolutely. I mean, actually, Don was the big power man, and I was the quick man, so, I mean, it just worked out for us for a while. We had a good little run together.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Troy, you had Donnie in a rear armbar chokehold from the 11:22 mark until the 11:43 mark when the ref ordered you to break the hold. You then put your left leg, apparently, across his throat while you argued with the ref. Were you surprised by Donnie's ability to take punishment in the windpipe area?
I don't know if it's the way I should answer this. I guess Donnie's a tough guy, and even if he can take a beating, I don't
I'll answer that one, really.
Wow, all right. Okay. Well, after you led him up, after the windpipe assault, Donnie staggered around the ring in a dazed and confused state. Did you know that before Jimmy Page was in Led Zeppelin, that he played a psychedelic Fender Stratocaster in the Yardbirds when they played Dazed and Confused as early as 1967 on French TV?
I did not know that.
No, okay.
Not.
Are you a big fan of the song Dazed and Confused?
Yeah, kind of. It's not bad. Now, I thought they weren't clapping in the Yardbirds, or am I thinking of something totally different?
Clapton was in the Yardbirds briefly along with Jeff Peck and Jimmy Page in the same lineup.
Wow.
That's pretty solid. It was solid. And in fact, I'm going to assign you a homework assignment to look up Yardbirds Dazed and Confused 1967 French TV.
Okay.
You can see Jimmy Page playing a psychedelic Fender Stratocaster, and the song is Dazed and Confused, which was kind of what Donnie Idol was after your chokehold. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, Troy, if you stop the video at the 15-minute and 16-second mark, you can be seen standing on the second turnbuckle, and Donnie Idol is sitting on the top turnbuckle. A basketball backboard and hoop can be seen half hidden by your body. It looks like you are dunking a basketball after executing a sky-high vertical leap. My question is, what did you think about the recent death of NBA great Chocolate Thunder, Mr. Daryl Dawkins himself?
I think it's sad he passed. I wasn't a big fan of him. I was more of a Larry Bird guy. So, I mean, but, you know, it's always sad to hear someone passing.
All right. Well, Maurice the Enforcer Lucas was a power forward with the Trailblazers during the mid to late 70s, and he almost came to blows with Daryl Dawkins. My question is, how would you and John Wall have fared if you faced a tag team of Daryl Chocolate Thunder Dawkins and the and Maurice the Enforcer Lucas?
Oh, I think we'd have did all right. We're a pretty smart tag team. Instead of going back to 2011, I think I just posted a match last week against us. Me and my brother, not me and John, but me and my brother Tom, taking on Rob Conway and big time Josh Lewis and Power Us. And we separated those guys pretty well and beat the shit out of them for about 20 minutes. So we would have a game plan and something figured out.
Wow, okay. It sounds kind of like a full court press. Yes.
I guess you could say that, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Troy, Tom and Donnie remained in the ring after this match and said the match was far from over and they were just getting started. In fact, they wanted to ask the commissioner if he thought you won fairly. Can you tell our Turnbuckle listeners that there was indeed no chicanery and you won the belts cleanly and without controversy?
I can say that. We got the victory. If the referee don't see nothing, then the referee don't see nothing, then 1, 2, 3, and it's what referee says goes.
Wow.
So.
All right. Okay. Truer words were never spoken, and he was a well-dressed referee. Yes. Oh, okay. Now, Troy, the administration has powerful control over inmates in supermax prisons. Administrators and guards alike have ample authority to punish and manage as they see fit with outside review or prisoner grievance systems. Few opportunities are provided for recreation, education, substance abuse programs, or other activities generally considered healthy and rehabilitative at other prisons. Solitary confinement is used to punish prisoners as well as protect them from themselves and each other. Alcatraz Island was the early standard for a supermax prison. Prior to 1984, only one prison in the U.S. met the standard for being classified supermax, and this was the federal penitentiary in Marion, Illinois. The shoe bomber, Richard Reed, the hitman who killed federal judge John H. Wood Jr., Charles Harrelson, Oklahoma City bomber Terry Nichols, and Vito Rizzuto, boss of the six Mafia family, were and have been inmates of supermax prisons. My question is, how would the tag team of Tom Van Zandt and Troy Miller fare in Pelican Bay, the supermax prison that is close to the Oregon-California border?
Hold on, what tag team?
The tag team of Tom Van Zandt and Troy Miller.
Well, they would suck because there's only one Troy in Indiana, and that's Troy Van Zandt. So they wouldn't do as good as me and my brother, but I'm sure my brother would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Troy. Or Miller, I should say.
I see. I myself am comfortable in prison settings. Yes.
I think we would run it, but you never know.
Okay. All right. Well, Troy, the Foo Fighters recently rickrolled the Westboro Baptist Church protesters. Did you see this?
No, I didn't see it.
No, okay. I myself am not quite familiar with that term, rickrolled. Can you give me your definition?
I'm not. Is it where they get you on there and that guy sings the song from the early 90s, maybe 80s? I don't know, he's a redhead guy. Other than that, I don't know nothing about it, I don't think. Maybe
wow.
I do, maybe I don't.
Okay, I'm going to put down Troy Van Zandt didn't really clarify the term rickrolled for me. No, yeah, and that's
oh,
not
I
a
did.
Bad thing. Oh, okay.
I did?
Okay. All right, never mind. Okay, never mind. Okay. All right. Well, Troy, I recently picked up the magazine 1954-2015 Roddy Piper Tribute, and I'd like to read you a paragraph, if I may. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. As a child, Piper lived a rough and tumble existence, growing up mostly in and around Winnipeg, Manitoba. It was there while living on an Indian reservation called the Paz that he learned to play the bagpipes. In his 2002 book, In the Pit with Piper, he noted that he couldn't recall who it was who taught him how to play the unusual instrument. I don't think it was one of my neighbors because I was the only white kid living on the reservation, he wrote. And I can't imagine myself playing the bagpipes and dancing around a fire with 14 Apaches. My question is, do you have this 2002 book, In the Pit with Piper?
No, I do not.
Okay, all right.
And I take it I must
on...
probably get it.
I'm sorry, what?
I said I take it I should probably get it. It's like a good read.
Yes, yes, I encourage all our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners to try to find that book, In the Pit with Piper. There might be some on Amazon, some copies on Amazon. Okay?
Okay.
Well, Troy, the article goes on, when he was 13, Piper left home and began living a vagabond life, moving from town to town on his thumb and playing the pipes to scrape up enough money to find food and a place to crash for the night. His bagpipes were his constant companion and even managed to land him a spot in a band called Heber B, which went on to come in fifth place against all pipe bands in the world in a competition in Toronto. Fifth place. Nonetheless, despite his good fortune in his musical endeavors, Piper found himself in trouble more often than not. Eventually, he landed in a program that put him in a boot camp with the Canadian Armed Forces. The deal was a simple one. If Piper completed his training, then showed up once a month for a year, he would receive an honorable discharge. Amazingly, his military life seemed to agree with a hot rod. It kept me off the streets and out of trouble for a while, and instilled a powerful belief and discipline in me that has stayed with me until this very day, he later wrote. The Army also taught me to be an expert. I became good with a machine gun and even better with a knife. All things a juvenile delinquent should learn. It was organized fighting, and I liked it. My question is, if you decided to go into the armed forces, Canadian, what would you join? Special forces, the Canadian Navy, or Canadian Army, or Air Force?
Special forces sounds fun. I don't know.
Wow.
I'm American, so I wouldn't be in Canada. I'm somewhat patriotic. I love my country.
Well, that's true.
Can't be anywhere else.
But I think John Wall could probably pull some strings and get
he might be able to
defensive.
He's like second most powerful man in Canada, the way I understand it, just under the Hearts. So I mean, under the Hearts, it's John Wall. So I mean,
oh,
I'm
okay.
Not
back. All right. Well, if you ever enlist in the Canadian Armed Forces, I would like to do the swearing-in ceremonies, since I am retired military myself.
Oh, that's fine with me. We'll have to maybe set something up. I'll get in touch with John, see what we can figure out.
Wow, you heard it here first, Sign Guy. Yes, this is fantastic. Okay. Well, here's my last question before I turn it back over to Sign Guy. Every wrestler goes through injuries that they receive and have to try very hard to overcome. Troy, what is the one injury that you have not received, but you fear the most? Is it a torn ACL?
No, actually, that he signs in my neck. That would be probably what scares me the most.
Oh yeah,
neck injuries are always, especially in this business. Most other, you know, injuries you can come back from and be semi-productive, but the neck injury just seems to end everybody.
Yeah, that's true. Neck injuries are very hard to overcome. Yeah, right. Okay. Well, will you be in action over the Thanksgiving holiday? Do you have any plans for any wrestling matches near Thanksgiving?
No, at the moment. I mean, I know we're in talks with some people, but we haven't gotten that set in stone. And I'm not sure if WCWO would probably be running something Thanksgiving night here. So it just depends who's running and what we got going on family-wise.
All right. Have you ever had to put on a turkey suit like Eric Young?
I have not. Or a chicken suit. Even though Tom, my brother, had. But I've never done the turkey. Yes. Yes.
Is there any YouTube videos of your brother Tom in a turkey suit, chicken suit?
I will have to check. I know there is footage New Era has.
Ooh.
But there is a possibility it can be found.
Wow, all right, okay. Okay, well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and I wish you good luck with your homework assignment, looking up the Yardbirds in 1967 when they play in France. Yes.
Okay, we'll do that.
All right, back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT.
All right, Sign Guy, I just walked in the locker room. I'm right here beside Hillbilly Jed, / some other guy. He's got multiple personalities. Now, the question that we're talking about is, how do you get an Italian hillbilly? Is it possum meat, or is it a different kind of meat that goes in the possum?
Okay.
Yes.
Like
spaghetti, you know, like... Yeah.
Possum meat,
but add more garlic.
Uh-huh.
There's your answer. That's how you do it right there. Possum meat, more garlic. Good.
That's
answer.
How you get a hillbilly in. Oh.
Okay, he said if you ask another question like that, he's going to send the whole Columbus fire department to your house.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
come on now.
I might have to ask him something right before I head out of town the next time then.
Would you like to speak to him right now? I mean, I'm like inches from him. Yeah, he's reaching for his phone. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Hello? Hello?
Mr. Billy Jed?
Yes, sir.
Oh, we were just curious because Troy brought that subject up. And
his
next line of work, he wants to be an investigative journalist, so that's why we had to find out.
Oh, okay. I just thought you were trying to be smart about something, like poke fun at the hillbilly. So I didn't figure you would be like that kind of guy.
Well, you know better than that.
All right. Well, I'll make sure I'll set Troy straight on that one. So,
investigative journalist, huh?
All right. Here you go. Hey, we got the answer.
We did.
Now you may be in some danger, and I apologize if you are, but we got the answer.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be any stranger to taking heat, but, you know, I think you have a career as an investigative journalist when you hang up the boots, because you got that answer pretty quick.
I did, didn't I? Maybe I had to give it some thought right there.
You could be the next Mean Gene Okerlund.
That would be all right, wouldn't it?
He even had his own doll. He was so good at investigating journalism in the 80s for the WWF.
Yes, yes. The big rubber, whatever you want to call it, hard plastic rubber ones. Yeah, I had those.
Absolutely. He even made the cartoon.
Came with a little microphone. Yes, he did.
Now, Tori, speaking of stipulation matches like we were just a bit ago, and since you are in the Outlaw Arena, have you ever done the saddle match?
No, I don't think I have. And that may be another good idea to pass on to the boss.
He's of it, so if anyone's a fan of that, it would be him.
Yeah. I mean, he is the dangerous bull.
I think I may have seen 6, 7, 8, 33 matches with him involved where the loser did, in fact, have to wear a saddle.
Let me see. He was just here. He walked away. He's senile.
Ouch. Now, last week, I believe it was, WCWO put on the All Steel Cage show. Do you personally enjoy steel cage matches?
Absolutely. Actually, yes, I do. They're fun. A little rough on your body, but, you know, they always seem to draw good crowds and big crowds. So I enjoy them. I've done a bunch of them. And, you know. And it kind of blew my mind. Rob Conway was like, this is my fourth ever cage match. So I'm like, wow, really? Because, you know, he's been around forever. And you figure a guy his level would do a lot more steel cage match.
He has been around for a while. I grant you that. Now, what would you say is your all-time favorite stipulation match that you've had so far in your career?
I have to go back to like New Era, and me and Bobby Black did this match called Four Doors to Hell, and that's where they took doors, leaned them in the east corner. We had to go through the doors before finally we could break the table in the middle of the ring, or well, it wasn't in the middle of the ring the whole match, but and then whoever went through the table lost. That was fun to do because they bought extra thick doors and it took us like 20 attempts on each door to break. So it kind of got comical at some point.
At the 15th attempt, what's going through your mind when it's not broken yet?
What the fuck are we going to do? I mean, I'm not the biggest guy in the world. Bobby Black's the world's biggest midget. It took a lot. We finally got through it. And the match probably took 15 minutes longer than it should have.
Well, you know, when you have yourself and Bobby Black, it's going to be entertaining. But when you got a door that just won't break, that's probably not the object of the match, am I correct?
Well, it was, and I mean, you had to break all four doors or bust through all four doors before you could use the table, and they called it Four Doors of Hell.
Did it pop into your mind at any point that the promotion was possibly playing a rib by supplying extra sturdy doors?
No, because I was booking the company, so I just trusted in the wrong person, who also was in the match, to go by the wrong door.
I hate when people buy the wrong doors or they're...
Buy the wrong doors.
Yeah, the wrong doors. They buy wrong lighter fluid sometimes. Sometimes they get the wrong type of barbed wire. Hard when you send someone else to do the shopping.
Yeah. Trusting somebody to do one thing.
That's usually the downfall. Now, since they're the Outlaw Arena, they've had quite a few second and even third generation stars come through the door there. What do you think of some of the second and third generation guys that are coming up right now? Because I know there's quite a few of them.
The ones I really seem to pay attention to as much, the most, would be Jonathan Owens and Sean Kemp. I don't know. Being as young as they are, they're pretty talented kids. As long as they keep their head straight, you know, do the right thing. Just like Dylan, they got just as much chance or potential of making it somewhere as anybody else.
Absolutely. Now, since you've been around for quite a while now and you've seen the second and the third generation guys coming up, and there's also a big crop of first generation wrestlers that are making their way in that are still pretty young and new to the business, who are some of the younger guys in Indiana that fans should start to pay attention to because you see the potential in them to go places that are national and international?
Guys like Ace Perry, Del Patrick's, Trick Cassidy, guys, many young guys. A lot of the guys that come out of School of Rock seem to be doing real good. Probably my favorite, Miss Heidi, Heidi Loveless. I see a very bright future for her as long as she, you know, like anybody else, does the right thing and does what you got to do. Do what you got to do to get to the top. I don't see her having any problem making it anywhere.
I believe she actually recently was in Japan for wrestling.
Right, yeah, right. I'm talking statewide. Like, I could see, like, anybody that I usually see. Like, when I seen Jason Harding, whatever you want to call him, you're like, you knew that dude belonged on another level. You know what I mean? You see her, to me, you're like, yep, she belongs with the Divas or the Knockouts. It's just, you know, maybe I'm wrong at looking at people like that, but I do, and maybe it's the promoter in me coming out, but you just, you see people that are good, then you see people you know deserve the next level. Not all of them get it, but some do. I feel like her and Dylan, a few others, they deserve a shot at the next level. Just, you know, they're good enough.
Now, besides Miss Heidi, who are some of the women wrestlers you've come across recently that you think fans should pay attention to that are particularly good?
Here lately, I've been seeing a lot of Randy, I think it was Randy West, comes up here pretty much on a regular basis here lately, and she's pretty solid. She's really a tough chick. Thunder Kitty's been up here a couple times. She's a really tough chick, so, I mean, I don't really see the shows, at least I do, females are not popular, or I wouldn't say popular, or not booked. It seems like a lot, so. But, you know, those are ones I've seen lately, and they're absolutely good.
Well, Troy, I know you have WCWO tonight, and it's not too much longer before they'll have the meeting, so I want to make sure you have time. If there's anything you want to say to the listeners today, plug and promote absolutely anything at all that you'd like. You've got plenty of time to say what you need to.
Come check us out every Friday night on Tucky Avenue in Indianapolis. You can catch us tomorrow night at Bartholomew County Fairgrounds, Columbus, Indiana. Every third Saturday of every month, Boys Club in Shelbyville, Indiana. Want to see some good entertaining wrestling? Come on down. Prices are mostly fair at most places, so you definitely get your money's worth. Especially if we're on the card.
There you go. Well, Troy, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your day to be with us. I know you are preparing for a show today, so we greatly appreciate it. I look forward to that match that I'm owed, and hopefully I'll see you sometime really soon.
All right, brother. Take care.
All right, fans, if you get the chance, go watch Van Zant. He is tremendous, whether it is singles or a tag team with his brother Tom or with Bobby Black. Definitely worth the price of admission right there. And I will get to the show notes now since we didn't hit it earlier. If you're looking for some wrestling, like we just said, WCWO tonight, 1151 South Kentucky Avenue in Indianapolis, Indiana. 3XW in Des Moines, Iowa. Chikara running the King of the Trios tournament. First night is tonight. AIWF in Franklin, Ohio. EWF in Covina, California. Hood Slam Wrestling in Oakland, California. Tomorrow night, like we just said, Hoosier Pro Wrestling in Columbus, Indiana. Emerge, also in Columbus, Indiana. ICW in Marion, Indiana, featuring Troy Miller versus Juventud Guerrera. Chikara running its second night in Easton, Pennsylvania. NWA in Dyersburg, Tennessee. MOW in Akron, Ohio. BWF in the Bronx, New York. Wildfire Wrestling in Memphis, Tennessee. MPW in Edmonton, Alberta. ECW in Milton, Florida. POWW in Fox Lake, Illinois. NWA in Buda, Texas tomorrow. So QT, some good wrestling happening tomorrow as well as this evening. And Troy Van Zant and I have a future match down the road because you heard it here. He owes me a match.
Well, I've got to tell you, son guy, I think I'd prefer a match over a Four Doors from Hell match unless those doors were made of balsa wood, like Mr. T crashed through. Remember Roddy Piper said that he claimed that they were balsa wood in that tough bouncer contest?
I do recall that. I don't know. I don't know if we would have problems with the doors again, because I think Troy would be smart enough to get the proper doors in place this time.
Well, who would you see in a head-to-head matchup against, let's say, Four Doors from Purgatory match, Dave the Beast Barnett against Devin South Park Bellinger?
Well, since South Park's other ego, his alter ego, is in the PWI 500, I'd probably have to go with him.
Oh, all right. Very good. Okay. All right. Alter ego. Okay.
QT, I have heard rumors, speculation, and innuendo that you went to Fox Lake, Illinois on an investigative assignment and came away with the knowledge that Beast Barnett's favorite pizza pie chain is Papa Murphy's. Can you confirm this?
Wow. Well, I'm not going to confirm and deny until the fingerprints come out. I may have put my fingerprints in many a Papa Murphy's pie, yes. And as you know, traces of your DNA remain pretty much everywhere where you go, yes.
Can you confirm your favorite Papa Murphy's pizza pie and or the favorite pie of Beast Barnett?
Oh, I can see Dave the Beast Barnett. I think his favorite Papa Murphy's pie would be barbecue chicken and avocado, yes.
Well, I see that might be reasonable. Can you confirm yours?
Oh, boy, mine would be probably ham, Canadian bacon, and ground beef. Yes. Kind of like a triple meat lover, yes. Yeah, I'm going to guess with extra cheese. And then when I get home, I'd add myself some avocado slice, yes.
You sure do love avocados.
Oh, yes. They keep your skin well oiled, yes. And zestful looking, yes.
Well, no wonder you're comfortable in a prison setting then.
Yes. And, you know, it's come to my attention that Dave the Beast Barnett, he's a huge fan of Blind Melon. I mean, Crash Test Dummies. Yes.
Which is it? There's a huge difference.
Well, they had a jump ball, and it was Crash Test Dummies. Yes.
I think they are his fourth favorite band of all time.
One has to wonder if Dave the Beast Barnett has ever seen Crash Test Dummies in concert.
That I do not know. Would you care to message him and find that out so we can report back?
Yes, I will message him in approximately 3 minutes. Yes.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
One has to wonder what Dave the Beast Barnett's favorite video of all time is. Maybe it is that Black Sabbath one where they do play the song Black Sabbath and people are, they're not seen running from the venue, but but some people ran when they heard the Devil's Triad. That's been a good topic of conversation with me on Song Guy's Wrestling Show / Turnbuckle Turmoil. Yes, I bring up that topic often.
That's true. Although I think his favorite video of all time was Weird Al Yankovic's Eat It.
Oh, yes, that is a good one. Yes. I don't know. I heard that Dave the Beast, Amish Paradise runs a very close second. Yes. Churning the Amish butter. Yes.
He is a big fan of Florence Henderson.
Ah, there you go. Yes. Nothing like Florence Henderson on a butter churn. Yes.
I have heard that before.
But now, Sign Guy, I don't think there's going to be any blue-collar wrestling this Sunday, is there?
Yes, there actually is. And as a matter of fact, I forgot to mention this, but tomorrow night, Spokane, Anarchy Wrestling in Spokane, the Moonshiners going to be using the Freebird rules. Hollywood Donovan Edsel not able to make it, but they are substituting in Cousin Jameson to defend the tag team titles in Spokane. But Blue Collar Wrestling, the Moonshiners, will be there Sunday as well to defend their titles against the Faction.
Wow. Is this one of the first times that the Moonshiners will be traveling to Spokane? Can you confirm this?
They've been there several times. J.B. Moonshine and Hollywood Donovan Edsel, the Hollywood Moonshiners are the tag team champions, but they are allowed to use Freebird rules.
Now, are there any truth to the rumors that Paul Moonshine started those forest fires from smoking old stogies that he found along the highway? That's what I heard.
I believe those have been confirmed false.
Nah, come on. I can see him in an old, how would you say, hobo hat with a knapsack over his shoulder looking for stogies. I know they do that in the hills of Appalachia. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I've heard confirmation. Those are just rumors.
Uh-huh.
Although they have been confirmed, they've tracked the rumor down to someone that frequented the Vancouver, Washington area.
I see. Would this person have moved recently from Vancouver up to Tacoma into the Apex Apartments?
It's a possibility. I don't think they have traced it that far.
I see. Now, Sangay, can you give us a quick overview of a very special Turnbuckle Turmoil episode that we have coming up on Sunday?
Yes, on Sunday, it is our tribute to the Don Owen era of Portland wrestling. We'll be having several people on the show that were wrestling for Don Owen in that time frame, and some wrestling history that came out of Portland. We have a schedule to appear, Jerry Oates, Mickey Doyle, Sam Oliver Bass, Tom Pritchard, and Chavo Guerrero. So it should be outstanding, should learn quite a bit, should be a lot of fun. We're expanding a half an hour to accommodate everything. Should be a great time. So Sunday we got Don Owen Wrestling to look forward to. And with that, I believe we'll bid you adieu for the day. Get out there, support your local independent wrestling if it is near you today. And we will talk to you Sunday.